Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
It isn't often that Christmas Day falls on a Sunday, our usual day of worship. Most years, Christmas Eve is when congregations hold services, special services, to recognize and honor this preeminent Christian holiday. Christmas Eve services are often some of the best attended services of the year. A little different than today. Christmas Day, on the other hand, typically finds children waking and rushing to the Christmas tree to see all of the presents waiting for them there. Christmas Day is a time for family members to gather, a day when people tend to want to be home. And looking out, that makes a lot of sense to me. With these awarenesses at the forefront of my mind, I want to say welcome to you all and thank you for coming this morning. It is my hope that this worship service will contribute to making this a Merry Christmas for all of you. Christmas, as we heard in our story for all ages, celebrates the birth of a baby, a very special baby. I say that knowing that every baby is a very special baby to those who know and love that child. Christmas commemorates the birth of one particular special baby, a baby named Jesus, who was born more than 2,000 years ago. As the story is told, he was born in a manger since there was no room in the inn. The story of his birth, including how it came to occur in the manger, as well as many other happenings surrounding it, are found in two of the Gospels, Matthew and Mark. As is typical in the Gospels, the details related to Jesus' birth and life aren't identical. Over the centuries, the stories in these two Gospels regarding his birth have been intermixed and entwined into a story that most people in this country are at least generally familiar with. Most Christmas Eve services focus on the story of Jesus' birth and its significance. Today, on Christmas Day, I would like us to not only think about his birth, but also his life and his teachings. For what is it that makes his birth and Christmas worthy of our attention if it is not what Jesus did and taught throughout the rest of his life? What the Gospels tell us about his life and his message seem to me to be as important today as they were during the time that he lived. Jesus was born during a time when the land of his people was ruled by a distant king, King Herod, we are told. Throughout his life, his people were at the mercy of occupying forces and governing bodies that were at the least unresponsive to the needs of his people. At the worst, the occupying forces and governing bodies were hostile, oppressive, and abusive to him and his people. As we pay attention to the news today and in the recent past, it is clear that situations such as what Jesus and his people lived through continue to be present in our world. Jesus didn't agree with many of the values of those in positions of political power. And it wasn't just the occupying forces and the governing bodies that Jesus had issues with. He also had concerns about what he saw happening within his religious tradition. He had significant differences of opinion with the religious leaders and teachers of the faith tradition of his family and of his people. I would imagine that many, if not all of us, have had times where we had differences of opinion with those who govern our land or those who are religious leaders or teachers. You may have even had some differences with me. Good. Some of us may even voice those concerns from time to time. But in Jesus's time, speaking out against the establishment, whether that be the government or the religious establishment, could have very dire consequences. For those of you who know the rest of the story, you know what I'm talking about. At the current time, let me say it again. At the current time in this country, speaking out against the government or religious establishment isn't likely to garner the types of consequences that Jesus witnessed and experienced. Yet in spite of what he knew could happen, Jesus spoke out and acted against what he deemed to be counter to the foundation of his religious beliefs. So let's consider for a minute what Jesus believed was at the very foundation of his religion. In the book of Mark, it is written that when a religious leader asked him which of the commandments was the first above all others, Jesus did as he often did. He didn't stay within the confines that were set for him. Instead, he went beyond them. He replied that there were two commandments that were at the top, not just one. These were to love your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. He then went even further beyond the bounds that had been set by stating, "There is no other commandment greater than these." And in another of the Gospels, the book of John, Jesus speaks to his disciples saying, "I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another." For Jesus, love was the basis of his religion and the essence of his life. Love above all else, even life itself, was what mattered. In the birth of the baby Jesus, then, we are told that love, pure, unadulterated, and eternal love, becomes incarnate. That type of love is worthy of the attention that Christmas receives. As I consider what I've seen and heard in the weeks leading up to this special day, I wonder if our attention is focused primarily on the message of love that Jesus taught and lived. It seems to me that for many people in our culture, that focus tends to stray to other things. I wonder what Christmas might look like if we were willing and able to put love above all else, to have love guide us and direct us in all we do. As I try to imagine what this might look like, my mind becomes flooded with images. First, I see store parking lots with plenty of empty parking spaces. Wouldn't that be amazing? But I see even more amazing things than that. Around those parking lots, I notice that there are no homeless people holding cardboard signs at the entrance or the exit. Instead, I see the folks who've been living on the streets being provided a place to live and the food they need, not only to survive, but to flourish. I imagine those who are incarcerated being able to spend time with their families and loved ones. I see those who are considered other, such as the undocumented immigrant or the refugee whose religion isn't Christian, being welcomed in our land. I see women receiving pay equal to their male counterparts. And I see towns and cities across our country filled with neighborhoods where people of all colors and nationalities live and share together comfortably, as if anything else would seem odd or even abnormal. As I said, when I try to think about what Christmas might look like if we were willing and able to put love above all else, my mind gets flooded with images. I want to invite you now, if you would, to share what images come to your mind when you think of how Christmas might be, could be, if love was the guiding force in our lives. If you have an image you would like to share, I would ask you to raise your hand. When I acknowledge you, I would encourage you to stand and share what is on your mind, what the image is that you hold. May we love it into being.
May gay family members be welcomed home for who they really are.
May we love it into being.
May there be no billionaires in our world.
May we love it into being.
May everyone have health care for free, for no cost, and be healthy and well.
May we love it into being.
That there would be peace in our land.
May we love it into being.
That all people can speak their truth, and we can all listen lovingly and
may we love it into being.
That the addicted get treatment and help that they need.
May we love it into being.
May no one suffer the pain of loneliness.
May we love it into being. Thank you all for sharing. I know there are many other images that could have been spoken. As I'm sure it is clear to all of us, we have not yet arrived at the place that love has the capacity to take us. But let us remember Jesus and the time he lived in. The world then had a long way to go to embody and to live out the love that he was teaching about, and to bring it into this world. So today, on Christmas, I invite all of us not only to imagine a world where love is our guide, but to seek to demonstrate through our lives what love looks like. And I would encourage us to follow the example of Jesus, the example he set as he spoke to those in power about what really matters in life. As I say this, I'm reminded of a song by John Lennon titled Imagine. Many of you are likely familiar with the lyrics. Here is part of one verse. Imagine all the people living life in peace. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you will join us and the world will be as one. It seems to me that if Jesus had his way, such that love would guide our way, the world truly would be as one. So on this Christmas morn, let us remember and honor what made that babe, born many, many years ago, so very special. Let us go forth from this place with love in our hearts, and let us seek to make this day and the next more like what we have imagined Christmas would look like if love could guide the way. May it be so.